Play. Okay, guys. You ready to go?
Yeah, maybe.
Here let's do this thing.
New Dissident Radio. Listen before it's illegal.
Hi, it's Jake Johansson. You're listening to the Angry Atheist Show. They're angry. You're angry. Keep it right here.
I'm not angry.
You're angry.
Hello and welcome to Ardent Atheist, where reason reigns supreme, not frogs and fish. Today's episode brought to you by billions of years of evolution. Sitting next to me is my co-host and producer, Heather Henderson.
Hi, everybody.
You know Heather from the Facebooks, on the intertubes, and from her ferocious vocals at Monday Night Tees at three clubs in Hollywood.
Do go on.
You can find links to our guest website, join our Twitter and Facebook feeds, subscribe to our premium 90-minute full-length episodes, and our email at ardentatheist.com.
If you'd like to take part in a live chat moderated by the author of the well-known blog Hit and Miss, Joe Swam, go to ardentatheist.com/live and chat us up right now.
And please go to iTunes, subscribe to our podcast for free, and write a review. Or go to ardentatheist.com/premium and subscribe to our premium content for a measly $10 per year.
10 is the new dollar.
What's the new 10?
Me.
I'll buy that for a dollar. We only have two rules on the show. Rule number one.
Guests may plug anything they want because we're not hypocrites. Go subscribe.
And rule number two. If your listener has ever been offended by anything, get a sledgehammer and destroy your computer now. This show has no restrictions on language or content. And certainly has nothing for you, you magic underwearing political joke. In the studio tonight, we have Ian Harris, Brad Stein, Ben Elwood, and Ken Sands. You know these guys from Showbiz. Thanks for being here, guys.
Where else would we want to be, Embry?
Yeah.
My lord.
I would presume you'd rather be almost anywhere.
I had no other choice. It was you or nothing. Matter of fact, I don't know if the people know this. I knew when you were just the Ardent Emery.
Ardent Emery.
Now look at you. You've done with yourself, young man.
I'm pretty sure I was agnostic when you and I were touring.
You were snotty, actually, is what it was. You had a lot of nasal issues, if I remember.
And Ian Harris has been on the show. Thank you for being here again, Ian.
Thanks for having me back.
You're on tour still, I guess?
Yes, actually going out again tomorrow.
What's the name of the tour?
The Evolution of Comedy Tour.
There you go.
Yes.
Yes.
You know, a little play on the words
there. If you study the evolution of comedy, you pretty much just end up at dick jokes.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, and what's fascinating is that he has webbed feet. So,
yes. Ken Sands.
He really takes it to the limit.
I've heard a lot about Ken Sands.
I'm looking at him. I'm good, man. I'm doing good. Thanks for having me part of this. I'm an angry theist. Is that going to be an issue?
I don't know.
Are you an angry theist?
I'm a very angry theist.
I can tell just by looking at him.
You know him pretty well.
I do.
You turned me on to Ken when we talked about you coming on the show months ago.
You know, actually, Ken, I can actually say is my best friend. I've known him longer than I've had him as a friend longer than anybody I've ever met. 18 years old, met this kid.
Really?
Yeah.
How many people have friends that long, man? 30-something years? I don't know.
Long time, man.
And Ken, you do magic.
I do magic.
Okay. And now, let's clear it up right now. I believe Ian is a non-believer.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
He's an ardent non-believer.
An ardent.
Would you say ardent? I wouldn't say.
Oh, I'd be... Yeah.
You're ardent.
I'm ardent.
It's funny, until we had this show, I never heard anybody refer to themselves as ardent.
Hardened.
Ooh. Hardened ardent.
He's a hardened ardent. And Ken, what is your position when it comes to theism?
I am a Christian theist.
Christian theist.
Christian theist.
That's kind of redundant, isn't it?
As opposed to a Christian atheist.
It's not redundant. That's very it's clarative.
Yeah.
Okay. But
there are many theists who believe in, say, Muhammad.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. Okay. That's a theist.
My bad. My bad.
But being a Christian atheist would be weird.
Oh, what's that?
That's true.
What's that singer that says every God is true or every religion is true? He screwed up.
Ernest Borgnine, I think.
No. He screwed up John Lennon's Imagine on some award show.
Oh.
Was it the guy that sings, I don't know who it was.
He's the guy that sings Fuck You.
Yeah.
Oh, CeeLo Green.
CeeLo Green.
Right. CeeLo Green.
What's a Christian knew? The guy that's... Look at me. Yeah, but I'm pop culture.
Wait a minute. You knew the guy, Brad. As soon as he said the F word, you knew it.
I did.
But he added... He added God. Is that right?
He said, imagine there's no heaven and something, something, and all religion's true.
All religion's true.
Oh,
because that could be possible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's true. That's right.
What the fuck is wrong with CeeLo Green? You know what, CeeLo? Fuck you.
That's the only thing that isn't possible.
That's exactly right.
Exactly right.
The only thing that isn't possible is lots of things that aren't possible.
When it comes to religion, either none of them are true or one of them's true, but it's impossible for all of them.
Well, we can't all be right, but we can all be wrong.
That's true. Excellent.
Where'd you get that?
So you guys buy into the law of non-contradiction here. Is that what's going on here?
That's exactly right.
Good, man.
So I want to clear it up. You, sir, are, you know, it's funny. I worked the road with you, what, a year and a half, right?
We did, you know, I, and you've got tens of 20s of listeners, right?
Yes.
So for all 40 of you out there, I want you to know my little relationship with Emery. Or as we like to call him, Emery Squared.
E2.
I actually met Emery in 1988 when I started
You're
my
very
comedy
good with the numbers.
I know
he's
it.
A numbers guy, this cat.
And I had started in comedy. I'd been doing like open mic nights and whatnot, and I kind of did comedy magic and had created a little show and had a manager in L.A., and he got me on this college tour called the We Can Make You Laugh tour, and it was off the old show, if you remember, We Can Make You Laugh. And so we had three.
It's the way that, what was his name? The guy that ran it.
Oh,
not Craig, the bigwig.
Oh, in Michigan.
Why can't
in
I
Michigan.
Think of his name?
Bob,
we said it.
Bob Kramer.
It's the only way Kramer, right. the We Can Make You Laugh show is we, the only way Kramer could steal Make Me Laugh.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
Hire a couple of road comics.
But we all did 20 minutes each.
Yeah.
And then there was a break. And then we came out and tried to do funny sketches. And the kids laughed. And if they didn't laugh, they got money and blah, blah, blah. So that's how it started.
No one ever earned a penny.
Nothing. We
it
were too good.
Hell. You killed.
But. We did 180 shows in 9 months.
Yeah.
We were three guys in a van filled with AV equipment, had to set up, tear down, do what they called teasers, where you had to actually get there if you're driving on.
That was the bane of the gig.
Oh, my Lord.
Besides sleeping in the same room with me,
oh,
that was
my
the bane
Lord.
Of the gig.
And this was before cell phones. So the moment we
the
got...
The farts, I can only imagine.
Well, yes.
I wasn't lactose intolerant.
I'm just talking about everyone. All those guys in a fucking van.
Yes. It was rough. But they didn't have cell phones then. So the moment we got into the room, Emery's on the bed grabbing his phone, making phone calls. I wanted to kill him so many times in my life. But, you know, towards the end of the event, we became pretty good friends. Hey, it was boot camp, man. That was a rough thing, and it taught me a lot about comedy. And here we are many, many years later, and still friends. We've taken divergent paths.
Indeed we have. But, you know, I don't remember even talking religion when we were on that tour.
No, we probably didn't too much.
Yeah. I don't have any memory of what you believed at that point in time. So.
Well, I was a Christian then. Mm-hmm. I did grow up in the church, so it was kind of always part of my thing. But I was also on a learning curve at that time, or what we like to call the prodigal journey.
I see.
So I was going. I went through a lot of different parts of my faith journey to discover where I am today. So it's been quite a ride for me too. It's not as cut and dried as people think it is for all religious people. Some of us actually have some dark nights of the soul.
Yeah.
So
indeed.
Yeah.
Sometimes Ben Elwood, ladies and gentlemen.
Hello. Sorry, I'm late.
No. Shut up, oh. Ben. You've been sitting there quiet for so long.
We've been worried sick. About
I just,
you, Ben.
I feel really bad for not introducing you yet. And now we know that Ian is a non-believer, and these two gentlemen are both theist Christians. I
Indeed.
Guess, right?
Indeed.
Well, I was an atheist for a long, long time.
Oh, we're gonna get to that.
That's very what they all say.
Very long time.
Ben Elwood.
Hello.
Tell me what you believe.
I'm going through an interesting transition at the moment myself. In America, it's obviously more of a hot-button topic, but in Australia, no one really gives a shit too much.
Right, right. Although it's starting to kind of infiltrate more recently, right?
Hello. Yes. Yeah, the it's being a lot more politicized, and we're getting those big kind of mega churches, Hillsong churches. So it is kind of
a new thing for you all.
Yeah. Especially in the last 10 years or so. But I was raised by Holocaust surviving Jews who didn't believe in God.
And can you blame them?
Well, yeah, really.
I mean,
come on, the things I've seen. so that was kind of, it wasn't a big thing for me. So I went through my childhood and adolescence as quite a vehement atheist, and then hit about 20 and started doing a lot of psychedelic drugs and got the kind of quasi-spiritual thing happening, you know, hey, the oneness and the connectedness. But it's interesting, I never was into science or anything like that, and in the last maybe year, I've been watching a lot of science and getting a lot of brain snaps and information that I didn't have in my head before, which is kind of making all of the esoteric stuff
What are you watching?
Less resonant with me. A lot of the Stephen Hawking's universe, a lot of BBC stuff. I find the American stuff's a bit...
That guy, you know that guy's a gimp, right?
Yeah, yeah, he's a fucking...
I don't know why...
Talk about my Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Oh, no. Neil deGrasse Tyson, except him from that. He's fucking amazing. But, yeah, it's strange. Like, all these things that I really firmly held on to seem very parochial now and seem kind of... Once you start realizing the expanse of time and space, to kind of think that I'm... You know, can control reality, or because I want a sandwich at 2 p.m., I can manifest that by thinking it to the universe. Seems slightly, I don't know, egocentric to a point where I don't know. I'm definitely going through a crisis at the moment. It's strange.
Really?
Yeah, well, not a crisis, but it's the fastest that I've gone from switching belief systems.
Yeah.
It's literally been from 3 months ago when I was very kind of like, yeah, man, everything's connected and we're all one and I can psychically communicate with trees. And then suddenly to going to this like, I think that's all shit. And I got to say, it's kind of a colder and darker and lonelier place. Like,
well, I remember we talked about this and I want to talk a lot about that.
You're going to have to come on our show, Skeptically Yours.
I really wanted to conspiracy theory.
How long
as well.
Are you? I know, right? No, how long are you in town for?
I am going to Vegas in 2 days, so not long.
Oh shit! Okay, yeah. God damn it!
Are you back? I'm back for a day on the. I get back here on the 6th, but I got to leave again.
If you're back for a day, I want to know when it is, and I want to see if I can do a pre-record with you.
I'll let you know.
We'll talk.
I'd
about
love
that.
To do the conspiracy stuff.
Yeah. Ian. So one thing I don't know if I've ever asked you. Maybe I did on the last show. I have a shitty memory. Were you ever a believer?
No.
Did you go through this?
No. I guess we're all born atheist, right? My dad is I guess my dad's a non-believer. If you ask him, he'll just be like, I don't know, that crap people do to that goddamn church. That's basically, he won't tell you he's an atheist or non-atheist. He just goes, I don't give a shit about that. And my mom is actually a Hindu psychic.
Now, there's a religion.
Wow.
If you could.
I ever tell you, my mom actually was on. I mean,
you did tell the story on the last show.
Yes.
You tell it again. Your mom actually squared off with Randy.
Yeah, just for just briefly.
The amazing Randy.
Seattle talk show. Yeah. On a Seattle talk show, and she was on as a psychic, and then they had Randy on as the phone in. And, you know, they said, well, if Dawn here can predict something, then can she win your $1 million? Or whatever, and they had somebody call in and go, I lost my pet. And, you know, my mom was like, oh, is it a dog or a cat? And the guy's like, it's an iguana. She's like, oh, it's an iguana. Okay, well, you know, did something. Well, look in a tree behind your house near some water in Seattle, and you'll find your iguana. And
she applied some logic.
Yeah, and the funniest, I laughed my ass off, felt bad for my mom, but the lady goes, the host goes, so... Mr. Randy, now if this so and so goes behind,
was it really a gay guy?
No, it was just like think Fox News anchorwoman.
Okay,
blonde hair,
hot.
I see. What you're saying is that your interpretation of women is it turns into a gay guy when you're doing them.
Exactly.
I see. Got it.
Exactly. Well, it's like I said, Fox News anchorwoman.
Or to make it shorter, when you do a woman, they turn into a gay guy. Okay, go on.
Well, sometimes when I do a guy, they've got to pretend they're a woman. But. No, so anyway, so she was like, wow, if this guy goes back behind his house and looks up in a tree by some water and finds the iguana, well, does Dawn
does she
get
the $1 million?
And he goes, no, but I'll give $1 million to any iguana that doesn't like to climb a tree.
So they didn't. He didn't go find the iguana out back.
That, you know, there was never.
And that's not how the challenge works. The challenge works like. Basically like this, and by the way, you feel free to jump in, Ken, because I know that you're well tuned to the skeptic process.
Yeah.
Ken is a skeptic and a theist. And wow, as an atheist who got into the, I know, right? As an atheist who got into the skeptic world, I was surprised to learn that that's something that happens. But the skeptic process, the skeptical process, especially when you're going after that $1 million, is you have to make a claim. For example, I said to Randy at TAM last year, I said, or it was this year, I said, Randy, I think I can win $1 million. And he goes, oh, really? And he squares up and he goes, how are you going to do that? And I said, I can predict the outcome of the next 10 tests that you guys run. And then someone goes, yeah, that's just logic. And I go, not if my cat's telling me the outcome.
That's good.
But that's not how you win the million. You don't get the million by being coy. You get the million by actually being able to scientifically prove that you have performed paranormal talents of some sort.
Right. So to do that, it would have to be in a lab setting.
Yeah,
yeah. You would actually have to be able to prove that your cat is giving you that information.
Yeah, yeah. I couldn't just say the cat gave it to me. I'd have to show that the cat was communicating with me, and you know.
We did the last test was body balance bands. Is that what they're called?
Yeah,
body balance. Is that
yes? I got a story about that one.
Tell.
No, please tell me your. Did you do a thing with it?
Well, no, they had a big stage and a big audience and a guy who said that there was some sort of microchip in his personal product of his balance bands, and they did a test where they had people come up and stand with their arms spread out and do a whole balance test, and once he got 8 wrong, he was out. And he got that. Or was it 4 or no, something like that?
There was a particular amount that he had to get to that would make it so he couldn't have won. In other words, if he got X amount right, he beat the odds of you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so they make the test repetitive so that you can get past. So
it
you can get
to,
in the world
it has
of averages.
To be on chance.
Right. Yeah, and so if it's not well beyond chance, then obviously this balance band is bullshit. Right. Which
can someone
all
please explain what's the balance band?
Okay. What is it? They have a hologram inside. It's a bracelet that has a hologram chip. And it's supposed to center your energy and make you more balanced.
Using ions or negative ions. It balances the negative ions against the positive ions, which is all utter cocksuckery bullshit. Hold on. I'm going to do a break real quick, and we'll be right back after this break. You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available on the iTunes Store.
We've had a lot of people ask us about the comedy sketch clips that we play from the Vile comedy album, Chaos Radio, so we are making it available to you. You can buy your favorite tracks from the 23-track record individually for $1, or you can buy the entire recording for $18. Just go to gumroad.com/Emery Emery. That's G-U-M as in Mary, R as in rapist, O as in no rapist, A as in anal rapist, and D as in did that ass rapist rape your ass in the Gumroad? .com/EmeryEmery and get a piece of comedy that should never have been made, let alone sold to the living human beings. And now back to you, Emery.
Thank you, Heather. That's so stupid. And now back to Ardent Atheist. Nonsense you can believe in. We're talking with Ian Harris, Brad Stein, Ben Elwood, and Ken Sands. Ben Elwood's been here the whole time. Shut up. So,
Don't doubt it.
So I got to tell you, because it's hilarious. So those bracelet things are really popular. Right. In the MMA world, and I have an MMA gym because that's how they sell them. They go, you wear it and you'll
MMA
will be better.
You'll balance. You'll balance.
Oh, martial arts.
A UFC. So I'm at this convention. Our gym's got a booth at this convention, and right next to it is one of those balance bracelets.
Power balance.
Yes, it was the Power Balance store. They had their booth, and the guy was giving the test on everybody. Here, come over here. Put the bracelet on, and then he holds your hands out, and he does the old trick where try to resist me, and then he pushes you a little angle, and you fall down. Oh, look, now you got the bracelet on. So I actually had one. Somebody had one, so I go, give me that. So I put it on, and I put it on my wrist, and I had my sweatshirt on, and I went over to the guy, and he does the test. He goes, see how weak you are? You're so weak. You're falling all over the place. Now put on my Power Balance bracelet, right? And he put it on the other wrist, and he goes, now look how strong you are. Look how great that is. And I go, oh, that's interesting. Then how come this one didn't work?
Nice.
And he goes, and everyone just starts laughing. And we're
you already had one on.
I already had one on the whole time.
We busted somebody in a mall in Vegas. A woman says, there's a video you can go find up on YouTube. What is it?
There's two videos. We did twice.
Yeah, we did two of them. Where this lady, she does the same thing you just described here. But she didn't put it on my wrist, which was dumb on her part. She handed it to me. And what they're doing, by the way, is they're doing if they know what they're doing a center of balance trick.
Right.
If you push straight down, then you're going to knock someone. Actually, if you push down and out a little bit, you'll pull them right off their center of balance. If you push inward toward their body as opposed to outward, and it's really subtle. It's a trick that they've been using in chiropractics for fucking years.
Yeah, but this goes back to the famous act, the Georgia Magnet, who made her whole living doing this, where you could be a guy, have three guys push on you, You can't get pushed over, right?
Right.
It's just the way she changed her position.
It's leverage. Leverage. Yeah. You should know that, MMA guy.
Yes, exactly.
Find your balance.
Yes.
We all know MMA, but seriously, the Georgia Magic had a great career, man.
She made a career out of leverage.
Amazing career.
There's a woman currently, a really little woman.
Susupan.
There you go. Thank you so much. I didn't know her name.
Good friend of mine, cool. Susupan.
Yeah. Now, you're also a skeptic. You're a believer and a skeptic.
Correct.
Heather wants to know about this.
Yes, I'd like to know about this.
Is that a dichotomy?
It seems to violate the law of non-contradiction.
I see. Shall we talk about that?
The law of non-contradiction?
We are obviously applying critical thinking. So how is it that you don't apply critical thinking to the claims of religion in the Bible? Or do you, and you've arrived at something else? That's the nature of the question from the atheist, and I'm obviously one of them.
Will you be representing the atheist in this particular forum?
In this particular studio.
I see.
I'm that king of the atheist.
No, I'm not. That's the nature of the question. That's how we feel, and I know you know that. You used to be an atheist.
I was
which
an atheist.
I
was
about.
A hardcore atheist. I used to rip on Christians, just destroy them.
Okay,
loved it, man. It was cool. Thought they were complete idiots. Brad, remember when I first met you, Brad?
I do,
and I kind of mocked you, man.
He did.
Yeah, in fact, we went to the store. We went to the Christian bookstore. Remember?
Yes.
And Brad's getting this book on fossils or something. The fossils lie.
I was talking to somebody, but you saw a book on fossils and dealing with that, and you thought...
Oh, and I thought you were the biggest goofball I ever met in my life. I had to leave the store going, my friend is an idiot for believing in this God thing. So I just walked out. I was laughing. Frankly.
And I began to weep. Why? Why forsake me, Ken? No, but...
Were you a Christian before you were an atheist?
No.
I was a Christian...
Family? Was your family Christian? Sorry, I got
to.
No.
I was a Christian before I was an atheist, so I don't tend to think of people as idiots who are Christian. I just don't. I think that.
Why? Thank you, Emery.
I think that you're welcome.
Because I fit in that category.
I've heard
you're an idiot.
We're all a little idiot. We've been in a van together for two seasons. We know what idiots we can be.
Amen. Just to survive.
But yeah, it's for me. Same with skepticism. You know.
Yeah.
I learned that. It took me a while to understand this. The people doing the power balance thing, some of them don't know that they're doing that trick. There's a percentage of times that someone can do it that it functions the way predicted. And it only has to work. When it works, you might have a sale. That's basically how it works.
Well, you know, probably these fortune tellers think that they're telling the truth.
More of them do than don't, I think.
My mom is not a fraud. She actually, I mean, in her mind, she is
I was going to say, your mom's a fraud.
Yes.
but she actually believes
that's her thing. She's a psychic, and it just really upsets her that I don't believe it. But she's not out there trying to build people up their
malicious
money. And
the thing with thinking
she really believes it. That's
the thing with thinking that you're psychic, though, as I did when I was in my mid-20s, thinking that you remember the things that you were right about, but you conveniently forget the things that you were wrong about.
It's called personal validation. I used to do a lecture on exposing psychics. I did for about 15 years. And exposed cold reading and all that stuff. So yeah, I mean, I don't buy the psychic thing, man. It's just not empirically verified. I mean, you can't show it empirically.
How do you verify God?
Yeah. Oh, whoa! Well, there's the magic thing here. So you guys, to
magic,
me,
magic,
the magic thing.
You don't to need
me,
to.
To me, this is what it boils down to, gentlemen. Is that you're sweetheart.
And you're
a lady.
You are a lady.
Put a strap on and get back in the conversation.
There he goes.
All right, here we go.
All right. So you guys like buying empiricism, right? Right? Is that your deal? You're empiricist? Is that your strict empiricist?
No, I'm not. Oh. I'm not a strict empiricist.
Okay, what are you?
What you're trying to do there, I recognize. What you're trying to do is
It's like the Georgia Magnet! You're pushing his mentally over!
What you're trying to do is you're trying to simplify
No.
Go ahead.
No, I'm trying to understand your philosophical position.
You said you were an atheist. How do you not understand it?
No, because you hold... All I'm trying to say here is that it's very... You can apply an empirical interpretation of the balancing thing, right? You can apply science and empiricism and go, look, it's fake, right?
Right.
I don't think that I can empirically prove God's existence. I mean, how do you do that, right?
Right, you don't.
Right, I mean, I don't have a problem with that. But I can tell you this, that empiricism can never prove atheism either.
Well, there doesn't have anything to be proven.
There's nothing to prove with atheism. Atheism isn't making a claim.
It's a non-belief.
Ooh, you guys are doing that?
No, we're not making a claim.
Well, Whoa. A is a negation, right?
Sorry?
A is a negation.
No, here's the deal.
It's a non-acceptance. Asexual organisms don't deny sex organs.
No, wait. You're saying God exists or God doesn't exist?
No, I'm not saying either.
Oh, so you're holding a non-belief.
No, that's not... Yeah, I'm a non-believer right now. Okay. What I'm saying is, when you have evidence for God, I will weigh that evidence and make a decision. Until then, you're full of shit. That's what I'm saying.
I can give you lots of evidence for God.
Name one.
Oh, well, dear God. How long is the show?
No. I only have
45 minutes. 45 minutes?
45 minutes to let him know. Let him have it.
Dear God. Why don't we look at information theory, for heaven's sakes? Billions of bits of data and DNA code. I mean, you can say that that's a result of a designer. You can look at that and say a protein molecule, for heaven's sakes, is infinitely more. We were talking about Macs the other day, right? Just now. Mac computer. You're a Mac guy, right?
Right.
You got a hardware, software. You got that whole deal going on with hardware and software and how the Mac works, right?
Okay.
Would you say the Mac is not a product of design?
Well, I know that it's a design because I know who the designer is.
Okay, so it's design.
Yes.
Okay, and all I'm saying is you look at a protein molecule, for heaven's sakes, you have billions of bits of data on the head of a pin, and you want to say that's not a product of design.
But that's still not proof.
I'm just saying it's inference. I'm saying it's inference. By inference, we can come that there's a designer. I'm not
the
saying
the only way that you can make an argument for intelligent design is through inference. And inference isn't evidence. It's not proof.
Wait. First of all, I think you guys are conflating. You got a conflation problem.
Really quick though, even if it was proof somehow that there's a designer, which it isn't, it doesn't speak to the nature of the designer. The designer could be evolution. The designer could be a magical monkey. We don't know
evolution.
What's that?
Because evolution is non-designable, so it couldn't.
By definition, it's just the inherent properties of matter.
Hold on, Brad.
You guys don't believe in evolution at all.
Oh, that's a good one. Are you guys? Let me. Emery, I just wanted your position because I knew we're doing philosophy.
I want that question answered.
Yeah, you really don't.
Well, what type of evolution are you talking about? Materialistic evolution, or are you talking theistic evolution?
Okay. What made you go from atheism to is this born again Christian?
Yeah.
But was there an awakening? Was there an epiphany?
No, man. I mean, we could do theology, but honestly, in a nutshell,
what was the event that made you?
I just came to Christ, man. I just heard the gospel and came to Christ.
Did you have a health scare or some kind of terrible thing happen?
You heard the gospel, so like you read the Bible and the Bible convinced you?
No, not at all.
I don't know what heard the gospel means.
Here's the deal. You guys, I don't know what that means. You can.
I'm going to stop everybody right now. I'd like to take us right back to where we were.
Yeah.
Because you were making some really good points that I'm interested in discussing, debating, and arguing.
Absolutely.
What about me? I'd like to make a good point.
Make a point, damn it.
Can I get a good point in now or again?
Brad said something that I think is profoundly shocking.
Really?
Yeah.
That's good, right? Yeah. Makes good radio?
No.
No, it doesn't make good radio.
What Brad said was, sure, I'll do your show. Yeah. No, when you said, what'd you say about evolution?
I don't remember.
Oh, fuck me. I'll run it back. Hold on.
No.
I know what you said.
What you said was that evolution, I want to get your wording right. I don't want to put words in your mouth.
You said something to the effect that you talked about the DNA molecule is filled with information, loaded with information. You said, well, perhaps evolution designed that information, I think is what you said.
I'm not sure what you said.
I was saying that the design mechanism, whether it's a designer or a designing mechanism.
Okay, yeah, so you said evolution can't design something.
And
that's what I would say as a Christian is that the point of evolution is that it can happen without design, all right? It can happen without a mind. Material can eventually over time in chemical processes in millions of years can actually form into a biological system that is so complex and beyond understanding that it becomes a human. That's what you believe.
But it's not now, beyond understanding.
I will eventually get to that, okay. But I only have so much time of the day. But what I was trying to get at was – when you use the word design, I don't believe that belongs to you because design implies a mind. And there is no mind in evolution. It's very clear by Richard Dawkins that nothing had you in mind. This is a chemistry experiment that happened to accidentally spit us out. That's why I don't go with the idea of design.
I don't think it's necessarily accidental. Accidental is the wrong word because accidental, again,
but
implies
it's the
word
I use.
Mind. It's like when people say, why are you here? How am I here? Why is a nonsensical question. Why am I here? That implies initially that there had to have been something thinking of a reason, a why, or a, like when you talk about design. When I say that, I'm saying not that there was a mind creating and designing something,
right.
But if we're going to say that this was engineered through a process or through a mind, and you were calling that design for simplicity's sake. Mm-hmm. I'm just talking about the engineering mechanism in which we can come up with, you know, with a bat's radar or a human eye or all these things that they say. How can you say that this wasn't designed, the human eyes? Well, because we can look at every variation of the eye that's ever existed.
All the way up to the one that is there now. We can also map the evolutionary process of an eye and then the loss of that eye when an animal, for example, goes underground. We know the evolutionary process is in action. We have examples of it, both in bacteria and virus, as well as in complex animals.
And it's not perfect because I can't see through women's clothes.
Wait a minute now.
Well, see, I can. So that's what's really unusual.
It just seems to me that whenever people cling to creationism, it's the fallback inevitably.
I'm sorry, did you say cling to?
He's just claiming. He's belittling you, Brad.
Because I'll come across that table.
He is belittling your thought process.
I may not jump on the MMA guy, but I'll come right across it.
I told you this show would be amazing.
He said
it's
going
to be a victory to beat up a fat little Jew. But anyway.
Who can't?
But I mean, you said it yourself. Like
he's afraid of himself. For
let me speak, Christian, for fuck's sake. Okay, it seems to be that like I cannot conceive that evolutionism, mindless process. So therefore, there must be a creator. And it seems to be like just because.
Well, that's not what I said. That's not what.
That's what Ken said.
I was simply making.
That's ostensibly what Ken said.
No, no, no.
That's
no.
Ostensibly what most people that believe in creationism say. They say, but "Well, guys, I can't conceive of an eye evolving out of nothing, so therefore something must have designed it." But that's
well,
just
let's, and let's get to the specifics.
In your imagination.
Get to the specifics of what Ken said. He talked about the
protein the molecule. For
he's
heaven's
talking
sakes.
About he's and you're talking yep. about how much information is in there and how miraculous or amazing.
I
it
mean,
is.
You've
Am
got
I right,
you've
Ken?
Got left-slotted amino acids, specific activating enzymes. They work on a microscopic level. This amazing, what appears to be, this amazing engineering going on this microscopic level.
I got a question.
Way beyond my Mac computer, by the way. Thank you. I love Macs.
But maybe our technology is just emulating what exists in nature, and because the nature is inherently within us,
or
our designs emulate
or
what...
maybe it wouldn't exist if it didn't work properly.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean...
Ken, that's right. She has a question.
Okay.
So, okay, let me get this straight. You feel that you believe that everything had to be designed?
No.
Or was made by...
I hold to a distinction between micro and macro evolution. So you guys buy into transpeciation. You guys believe, I'm going to guess here. You guys believe that somehow over time becomes multiple species of things, right?
My question is like the universe itself.
That would match macro.
Well, what do you believe about the universe?
Well, I would say the following statement is necessarily true or false. Here's where let me rephrase this. It's necessarily true or false.
I'm glad
you're right there.
I'm glad you're standing your ground on
thank
that.
Thank you. Don't be so specific next time.
Dear God, help me, help me.
I'm either right or wrong, and that's that.
Where's your God now, theist? Okay, go ahead.
Well, first of all, let's just get down to basics here. Are we all using logic here? What's going on here? I know you guys are big logicians.
What is the nature of that question? You've done that twice, and I want to understand what you're doing.
Yes, this is important.
Help me understand.
There's one common ground we have as atheists and theists.
Yeah.
Of the laws of logic.
I don't necessarily classify myself as an atheist.
Okay, okay.
Yeah, he look at him backing out.
Dear God.
No, coward! No,
God is at work here. God is at work.
They're all going to become one of us soon.
You got to remember, I'm not from a fucking crazy country. We're from a pretty moderate
country. No, he came from a country where convicts started it. No, they were all perfectly sane in Australia.
It's going to be a fight in the parking lot.
Hey, I was in. I actually worked in Melbourne for a month. It's a beautiful country.
Oh, so we're connected.
We're very much so.
Spiritual brothers.
Yeah, we're very, yeah. Matter of fact, I remember seeing you there. You were on LSD, if I'm not mistaken.
Talking to a tree.
Right.
Very strong possibility.
Okay, okay. Call that another dimension. Okay. That's another dimension.
Okay, I'm going to just make it real simple here, you guys. Either the universe, to answer your question, was intended or not.
Right.
Right? I mean, that necessarily is true, right?
Wait a minute.
Well, no, not necessarily.
I would really like to contemplate that for a minute. No, I, it's, I, hold on. if there are multiple universes, for example,
okay,
if universes
string theory
are,
comes into
no, it's not string theory.
That's not string theory. In fact, I guarantee you, not I guarantee theory. You. I predict. Can I have $1 million?
Yes,
I predict that string theory is bullshit.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I agree with you, Emery.
That's my prediction. We have a while to go, but there has not been one shred, not one string of evidence to support string theory, and it's been around since the 50s.
String cheese theory, though, is quite huge.
I completely
it's
believe
huge.
In string cheese theory.
Just saying.
And I'll tell you what, it makes me gassy. So,
yeah.
here, listen, if there's multiple universes, for example, conceptually speaking, you might, if we could get out of our universe, we might discover that there may be some sort of entity that started the multiple universes in action and actually is doing stuff. I suppose that's possible. The ideas of any of the gods postulated so far on this planet are utter bullshit, in my opinion, because there's just zero evidence to support them. You haven't given us one shred of evidence so far.
Well, that's because I haven't been allowed to speak, frankly.
Okay.
So.
All right. How long do we need to all shut up?
No, look,
until
you guys.
You give us true evidence, actual evidence that there's a
guy. I can give you
God.
Tons of evidence, but your presuppositions are what keeping you from of interpreting the evidence in a
I
certain
have
way.
No presuppositions.
Thank you, Sensei.
Okay, now, wait. Let me go on here. You guys, okay, let's take a look at this. Let's start from the beginning here. So you guys are materialists. Ian, are you a materialist?
I don't.
They keep thinking it's a trick question. He's trying to establish a foundation.
I want
to
know your
so
position.
I don't really put monikers.
Let you
on
and I do this. Let you and I do it.
Ask me a question. Are you a materialist?
I don't know what the word materialist implies or means, so I'm not comfortable saying I am.
It means that all there is matter, energy, and physics, the inherent properties of matter. There's nothing supernatural or transcends the physical world.
No, I think that we are the very gods we created. I think that we're capable of astronomical things. I think we could terraform another planet one day. I think that we can go into space and we can find a new home elsewhere. I think we could plant seeds on another planet and have them grow in the form of bacteria and eventually evolve into other beings. So no, I'm not a materialist. I think that we're wildly more significant as a species than just ones and zeros and or the atoms that I'm made up of. So I don't think I'm a materialist.
You think there's non-physical stuff going on? There's like non-physical stuff.
In other words, is it a closed system or is there stuff outside of material?
That's all I'm asking. Is there matter?
Like
is that all there is?
The universe?
Because you spoke earlier about we can go do this and we can go do that and we can do it, and that's wonderful.
Uh-huh.
But you're talking about a being that is an entity that is materially based. Mm-hmm. What he's trying to say is, do you believe in anything that isn't dimensional, that can't be measured in some regard, that is outside of matter?
My honest answer to that question is all claims are false until verifiable for me. That's my honest answer to your question.
We're not talking about claims. He's asking about material, Emery. Everything in this place is made of molecules.
Matter.
Yeah.
And so a closed system simply means the universe is all there is. Everything that's contained within it is a material that came from stars and dust and chemicals.
I believe that that's
anything other than that.
At this point, I think that's all there is material.
That's all he's trying to say. So we can begin a conversation.
No, I know where he's going with it. I've had people throw it at me before because we're going to go down to the everything came from nothing argument.
No, we're not.
Okay.
Fear not, we're not going that way.
Pull up Lawrence Krauss's.
I'm not going that way. I just want to know your philosophical position.
My philosophical position is that we're made of star stuff.
Okay.
That's material. That's matter.
Okay. So move on.
So basically you're causally closed.
I don't know what you mean.
Well, everything that you're doing right now is a function of your material properties. Would you agree with that? There's nothing supernatural going on in you. There's no soul.
No.
I don't believe in a soul.
Okay, so everything that you're doing, you're speaking, you're engaging me, it's just a function or inherent properties of matter. Right?
Yes.
You're just material. There's no non-physical stuff.
Now, listen to me.
Okay.
I'm just trying to... I'm trying to be honest with you.
Okay.
I really am.
Help me.
I'm not trying to be combative. I'm trying to be accurate.
Help me.
Because I think that human beings with consciousness, with the ability to interact on really, really important emotional levels, important in terms of personally, if you will.
All right.
I don't mean grandeurly. But on important levels, for us, I think that's wildly different than what a rock is, for example. So there are, in my opinion, there are levels to existence. Plants, based on evidence so far, I remember someone said they scream once. It's not what was happening.
I heard a petunia scream.
Yes. Haven't we all?
Don't ever pull one.
Did
you hear about that years ago, like 70s or 80s? Somebody was doing experiments cutting into cabbage and claiming that they were able to record a scream.
Dear God.
It's just bullshit. So I think there are different levels of consciousness. And that, by the way, for the record, is a philosophical plane, not a...
scientific.
No. There's some science that backs what I'm talking about.
Okay.
We're talking about the causal elements involved are where we get into the science of it. And it connects very clearly to matter, in my opinion. But...
All I'm saying is that you're still reducible to the laws of physics and matter. It doesn't matter. You have these very, you know, what he's talking about, philosophers call supervenience theory or consciousness, epiphenomenalism, which is another idea, or emergent properties, right? That somehow matter just has some other emergent properties to it, and then we get consciousness. But it still reduces to matter.
All right, well, just for the sake of the argument, yes.
Okay.
Okay.
I just wanted to hear your...
I don't know for a fact that I'm going to... I'm a materialist, but let's just say yes, so I can hear where you're going with it.
I just want to know your philosophical position, because we're at some point... You guys are talking science and doing science, and that's like kind of your starting point for how you know stuff. Would you agree with that or no?
Evidence.
I wouldn't agree.
Evidence is the starting point.
But evidence is what? Tell me about what evidence is.
Is something that is verifiable, testable,
repeatable,
and anyone who sees it and tries to test it out would get the same results.
Same results. Okay.
Yeah.
Now, that is what are called the hard sciences. Okay?
But I'm not a scientist.
The hard sciences is what she's talking about. I mean, we can do the hard sciences.
Let's talk about the flaccid scientists.
The flaccid. I've heard of these people. I've heard of them. So the hard sciences are really good at doing this. The hard sciences are great at observing the external world and engaging the world and then making dynamite and getting a plane to fly. It's beautiful, man. We use induction, right? Induction. Familiar with induction, Brad?
Yes.
Induction. Going from particulars to universals.
Universals, yes.
Thank you. So that's induction, right? So induction says we can study the external world and go from particulars to universal claims. And then we can do science, right? You agreed, or am I completely just...
Okay.
Well, you're right.
So then what?
Okay, so now I'm saying that we're doing induction, and we can do science. Okay, but my thing is that you guys make a huge mistake. You guys conflate philosophy and science. You are actually doing metaphysical naturalism, which is a philosophical position, not a scientific one.
It's true, Emery.
You can still...
I'm on to you.
How so? Explain how so. Because
here's my point.
I was born, and then somebody came along and said, hey, check out this. I believe that there's a guy who created us who does yada, 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 yada. And I went, nah. Yeah. Show me. And then they said, I can't show you. I said, next. And then the next person came along and said, I have a guy who can do this, 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 this.
And chicks have to cover their face.
Next. That's it. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Next. So to me, it's like, I don't have any ideas of
I get it. I totally get that, man, because that was my deal for years. So I get that.
And what made you go, wait a second?
There was a guy named Jimmy.
Yeah.
A guy named Jimmy.
He's a mechanic.
Like, no, a small Mexican boy.
What do you actually believe? Tell us.
I'm a Christian. So
I know that, but
fundamentally.
So what is your idea of how the universe became to be? I'm not talking about evolution. I'm talking about how the universe.
Do we really want to do the Kalam cosmological?
No, we don't. Thank we
you.
Absolutely don't.
Thank you. We're not doing that.
Well, you're a Christian, yet you haven't said what your belief is. I mean, if you're a Christian, that means you follow the Bible.
Implied? It's implied.
I believe there's one God. Who is a necessary non-contingent being. See, the problem with strict materialism, which is what you guys are holding on to, is that everything that you're doing right now, everything, talking, speaking, your rationality, your laws of logic, your induction, your deduction, everything that you're doing right now is a result of antecedent conditions prior to your existence in the material world. That's all it was, right? So you're not independent. You are contingent on the physical world that gave you your ability to understand the external world.
So?
Ooh, this is huge.
I mean, see, I'm not saying I agree, but I'm saying so.
I'm listening. Okay.
This is huge. So now, everything you're doing, including induction, which is big with science, right? Science, Brad, you agree with that? Induction's huge?
Huge. I sure do. I've got a beaker on my right here. I've got beakers and tubes. I'm prepared.
Thank you.
And a Bunsen burner.
I miss you, Brad. Brad was a funny motherfucker on that tour, man.
You need more Christians on this show.
Brad was a funny mother stinker on that tour.
I was. I was silly.
So all I'm saying, you guys, is at the end of the day, you guys are doing metaphysical naturalism, which is a branch of philosophy. At least back in the day, the scientists, the natural scientists, the guys who were doing science, recognized that the hard science cannot answer any of the questions except, like, what are the causal relations going on? In other words, I can observe the external world. I can make a dynamite stick.
Descriptive.
Right. It's descriptive.
Because we live in this world, and we live in this, you know, right.
But once we go, shit up can answer questions that science can't making, answer. That doesn't make not, any sense.
Well, that's what you're doing.
No, I'm not making anything
yes,
up.
Yes, you are.
Ken's not making anything up. He's only regurgitating shit that was made up. Right. Let's be accurate.
No, but I mean, you can't say, that's like saying, science, I hear this all the time, science shouldn't speak to the spiritual world because that's not
no,
science
I didn't say
area.
That. I never said that. I'm saying that science is really good at doing like, hey, we'll make a mic. It's
I
really
get it. Good. Okay, science is good at creating shit that we can
and
use.
How do you determine the other
and
stuff?
And science requires a mind, right? You need a mind, right?
How does that then lead to I'm going to be a Christian.
And how does that equal there's a God and we can prove
it
now?
Oh, dear God. Basically, to me, it works like this. Either if you guys are using induction and then saying you know something.
See, you're making a mistake right there.
Really?
Yeah, you are. I don't know if that's the atheist you were, but what we're saying about God is we don't see the evidence. Stop taking rights away from gays with your lies. That's what we're saying.
Gays? Now,
that's
where
what
did
we're
the
saying.
Gays come into
Thank
it?
You.
That's what we're saying. What we're saying is that religion oppresses people based on bullshit. That's what we're saying. Let's get right down to brass tacks.
All right.
Religion oppresses women. Religion oppresses gays. The Bible doesn't even give you any. In fact, the Bible tells you to keep slaves. The Bible is an awful fucking
book. I knew this
book.
Was going to happen.
But, no, but that is
we
why.
We knew they'd go there.
You know the problem.
Now, wait a second.
Atheism
I believe
doesn't claim to know anything. It's the other way around. It's religion that claims to know.
Oh, dear, you guys are all over the map here. First of all, atheism, the standard definition for atheism has always been God doesn't exist.
No, that's not
no,
the
it's
definition.
Not at all the definition.
You guys are buying into this one?
Nope.
Oh, dear God.
It makes
it's
me wonder.
Okay, here's a new one. The standard definition of Christianity is we're full of shit. That's what I just created as the standard definition. Like,
should I do?
You can't just tell me what my what the definition of the thing that I that
should
I
do?
To
should I do the etymology of atheism for you?
No, you shouldn't because
I'm
you're
going
wrong.
To. I'm going to. You're not wrong.
Yeah, what you just said about what I believe is wrong.
Okay, wait. Let's get back to your definition of atheism. For years, for thousands of years, atheism.
Was misinterpreted by Christians as you're denying what I believe.
Oh, dear God.
Yes.
Dear God, help me. Help Brad, help
Ken.
Me.
No,
he can't
Ken.
Help you because he doesn't
Ken.
Exist. So
I'll turn him down if
yourself.
You'd like.
Okay, now here's the deal.
Go ahead.
A is a negation. Do you accept that?
No. A? No, A is without, not a negation.
A is without.
It's exactly. Without. That's not a negation. The word, the letter A represents not. Not
thank you.
Not with, it's without. It doesn't say, in
without,
fact.
Without theism. That means asexual. Like
asexual.
Asexual means without sexual
organs.
It doesn't mean they're against sexual organs.
Yeah. Asexual people don't claim. Hold on. Asexual people don't claim there isn't sex. They just don't believe that sex is for them. Theism is not for me.
Well, then
I
you guys,
am without
then
theism.
You guys are going to have to disagree with classic atheists through the century who hold to the position that atheism is...
Ken, if your argument is to come in here and say that we're not the atheists you thought you were going to argue with, that's a really, really empty discussion.
Right, wait. Then what are we called then? You give us the definition.
You're an agnostic.
No.
You're an agnostic.
Hold on. Wait, please. Gnosticism and theism speak to two completely different things. Gnosticism speaks to what you know. Theism speaks to what you believe. We are all agnostic because none of us know. And if you say you know, you're full of shit. So we're all agnostic. But I can be an agnostic atheist. I can be an agnostic theist. Or I can be an agnostic. Well, those are the only two choices. I can either believe or I don't believe. But knowing and believing are two completely different things. I don't know that there's... you know, something in this cup, poison in my water or not, but I can believe that there's not because I have a pretty good idea that they're not going to fucking poison me. I don't know until I test it and drink it, but there's two different things. Theism, Gnosticism, completely two different. They're not even the same question.
Well, You guys have the weirdest definitions I've ever heard, ever.
Why am I wrong?
Because, well, yeah, because
Gnosticism and theism aren't the same.
Come on. And first of all, I love you guys' answer here. Apparently, we're full of crap as soon as we, as soon as we don't. If you believe, apparently, if we know something, which we can't know, which, by the way, you just contradicted yourself because you made a knowledge claim. You actually said you can know that you don't know, right? So, let's just do some basic philosophy here, right?
I said that I can know that I don't. I don't think I said that.
Okay. Ooh, okay.
I said I can know that I don't know.
Do you think you can have knowledge? Do you think you can know something?
I don't know what that means.
Well, come on, answer the question. Do you think you can know something?
Yes, I can know something.
Thank you.
I can know something.
An honest answer.
The answer is yes, I can know something.
I can know something to a certain degree, but can we know anything 100%? I don't know.
I would add the caveat that what I know now can change if the evidence.
I would agree with that. Okay. I think I love epistemology, theory of knowledge, that sort of stuff, and I would say that you don't have to have 100% certainty to have knowledge. So I agree with you.
Okay, right. Well, that's all I'm saying.
I mean, if you deny you exist, I mean, let's just start out with something.
Probabilities. The probability, no one has shown me any proof of any gods to a degree of probability that makes me accept those claims. Therefore, I have not accept said claim. Therefore, I am a theistic without gods. If you ask me if I know, I will say yes. Of course, I'm agnostic. I don't know.
All right. I'm gonna shut us all up for a minimum of 2 minutes. Right after this, so that Ken can say something uninterrupted.
Thank you.
You're listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio and available in the iTunes Store. And now, a special announcement.
This is a big super shout out to a few of our listeners. Here we go. Herbie, Zen Atheist Reagan, Angelique, Toby Ratcliffe, Jennifer Jones, Wendy Hughes, Danielle Lucas, Phil Kent, a.k.a. at Skeptomite, Simon...
Magus,
Chris DeZingman, SJ4, Kyle Data Whore, Saint Fuel or Sergeant Fuel, Rick McJustice, Scott Fitzgerald, Aaron Hoover, Emery's Mom, Hi Mom, Stu, Mark Nowitzki, BJ Kramer, Cameron Winters, and Joe Swam. These were some of the screen names of the people chatting on the Wall of Reason last week. Oh my God. Thanks for being there, everybody.
And now, back to Ardent Atheist Nonsense You Can Believe In. We're talking with Ian Harris, Brad Stein, Ben Elwood, and Ken Sands. Ken! All right.
Yes. Poor yes. Ken. Help me.
I have one question, and...
Well, I have questions, too.
Go ahead.
Can I ask
Brad,
a question? No. Because to me, I mean, this what intrigued me about this show, other than we're old friends, so I wanted to, you know, get on your show and to see what you're up to, but... I want to know what atheists think. You know, that's interesting to me because I think that when, you know, you have to decide what is the purpose of this show. Is it to simply say I disagree with you and you disagree with me, or are we trying to find an actual conclusion? Is there an actual? Are we looking for heat or light? Is what I want to know because I'm curious about things. I told you that I grew up in the church, was a Christian, and then I came to a place where, just like many atheists that I know. Who had something happen? Oftentimes, had something happen to them in their lives where they prayed for mom to get better, and she died. Well, then screw you, God. That's the way they did it. Something didn't work. In your case, you just never believed from the get-go, and that's how you were, and that's fine. I mean, I believe in autonomy. I believe that God gives us the ability to agree or disagree, see Him or not see Him. We get to make a call. But life is about God or no God. That's all the choices there are. There's either a rule maker or we make our own rules because we're a result of evolution. So what I'm curious about is what an atheist does with the idea of meaning. This is what interests me because if we are a result of Darwinism, if we're evolved, the Big Bang, and then billions of years, and the stars cooled, and chemicals went, and galaxies were made. All this happened. And over time, certain chemicals in certain positions under certain heat and a certain thing, suddenly a biological amoeba came, and then that became – and all this stuff happened. Nobody directed it. Nobody tried to make it happen. It was an accident. It just accidentally occurred. It could have just as easily not occurred.
I like the word inevitable. I like the word inevitability.
Well, but inevitability can only be described if we have a mind.
No, it can't. If you put...
No, Ernie, how can you say it's inevitable until you are here to describe it? That's what I'm getting at.
I see what you're saying.
So let me tell you this. This is what I'm not here to prove anything to you guys. I'm here to get your insight as an atheist. Yeah, I think you're missing some pieces, and I'd like to discuss those. If this all got here, including us sitting here, by accident,
speaking
without any knowledge, purpose, design, then life is meaningless.
The other way around.
Excuse me.
Sorry.
I'm using the actual definition. If we are a product of material alone, without a purpose, it's an accident we're here, then we are part of the matrix. We are continually in this molecular structure that is moving us forward without even the autonomy to be able to make distinctions from our object subject, which is what we're doing right now. So if we are here because nothing wanted us here, as Dawkins said, nothing had us in mind, and suddenly we are able to observe the very stardust that made us, and we are distinct from that, and suddenly molecules or matter is thinking about itself, which means it has to be distinct from itself. How does it do that?
Brad.
That's all I'm interested in.
Can I answer your question?
I want you, and I want you to do it within four words and in Latin.
Okay.
But you see,
ad hoc ergo propter hoc.
Very good.
There you go.
So here's that's the what answer I'm curious to, about for
here's
from
the
an
answer.
Atheist. Tell me
every
how.
One of us want to answer that question independently,
okay,
because we all have our own particular response to
cool.
it. My response to it is, I think you have it absurdly backwards. I think to make up, because I believe that that's probably what's going on here. Not probably. I know that Christianity made a God up. That is obvious to me. I have immense amounts of evidence about that. Here's the deal. It's not an accident we're here. It's an incident, okay? That's the reason
how
that
do you
we're
know
here
that?
In my
yeah.
mind.
Explain
because
how you know that.
The reason that I think that. Not
why,
no.
Why?
Think, for the record. Think.
Okay.
The reason I say think is because if someone can show me evidence that there is a being that created the universe with us in mind, I'd like to see that evidence,
yeah,
and that will change my mind.
And that's fine, but before we talk evidence. About that, we have to talk about the ability...
Meaning of life.
Yeah. Before we get to God, we have to discuss how we are able to have a discussion. That's what's interesting.
Heather.
Heather.
Hi, everybody.
Speak,
hey.
Heather. Look at
say
Heather.
Say that one more time. Before we can discuss meaning?
Before we can discuss God. He was going to God because it's the atheist show and you want to deal with God. But I'm interested in us as humans interacting. That's what's interesting to me. I'm a comedian.
So is it a how question or a why question?
Let me think. Let me see where I want to go with this. Okay. When we begin to say, for example, that we are observing molecules, or we're observing matter, we're observing evolution, okay? That's what you do, because you believe in science, and you believe science is all there is. That's how we know things, right? What I want to understand is, since we are a direct result of the evolution, since we are part of that, we cannot get outside of it. We didn't make ourselves get here. It just happened. You say it happened as an incident, that it was almost destiny. But destiny is a word that doesn't belong to
well, you've just,
science.
You've just completely strawmanned me. I didn't say destiny. I would never say the word destiny. I said incident.
I was looking at it at you as you were implying that.
I think the laws within our universe that govern how matter behaves mm-hmm. led to us.
Okay.
I think we were incidental as a result of that.
Okay.
As were ants, as were rocks.
Let me ask you a question, Emery. And we're old friends, so we can ask these
questions.
I'm
not that old. You're speak for yourself.
That's right. Actually, you've gotten younger. It's amazing what atheism does for you.
It's because he believes in science.
Exactly. Yeah, he believes in science.
And why did God make me lactose intolerant will be the question we ask in the premium.
Oh, shit, we're almost out of time.
Well, that's because we're so intriguing. Do stars observe us?
Okay, I would love to answer whether or not stars observe us, but
okay,
you know what? We are completely out of time.
That's
in the
impossible,
first portion of the show.
Because time isn't real.
We will get
there's
to
no
that
such thing as linear
right
time.
That. That's it for the free hour of episode 85. We'll be making the full 90 minutes available to our premium subscribers later tonight. I want to thank our guests, Ian Harris,
where
Brett
are we
Stein,
going?
Ben Elwood, and Ken Sands. I also want to thank my co-host, Heather Henderson, and New Dissident Radio. Tune in next week when our guest will be
someone.
And we'll be talking about
something.
That's right. You never know. It might not be any of those things. Who knows? It's up to God. This has been the free version of episode 85. Another show went off without a hitch. We miss you, Hitch. If you'd like to hear the full 90-minute show, please go to ardentatheist.com/
premium and subscribe for a measly $10 per year. I'm your host, Emery Emery.
And I'm Heather Henderson. Our theme music, courtesy of the sound editor of The Aristocrats, Eric Wilson. And special thanks to our Wall of Reason moderator, JR No Crap Swam, and our digital publicist and webmaster, Cameron No Car Winters.
Some characters mentioned on this podcast are completely fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons living or dead is purely wishful thinking. You've been listening to Ardent Atheist on New Dissident Radio. Ardent Atheist is a product of natural selection. Now hang in there. We'll do more show. Hold on. Guys.
I've got it back.
New Dissident Radio. Listen before it's illegal.